Welcome, gamers, to another exciting episode of the Unsung Gamers Podcast. Today, where we will dive into the retro worlds that captivate us. That was a big word. I was trying to be fancy there. I'm your host, Rico, and with me is the master of all things gaming. That would have to be my brother, because he seems to know everything there is about gaming, credits, and everything.
Hey, hey, hey.
And also, our fellow co-host as well, Jermaine, a.k.a. El Tacoma.
What's up, man?
I guess, how are y'all doing today? How was your holidays? Because it's been about a year since we've done this.
Oh, man.
that one never gets old. that joke.
It's the best, I know. You're welcome.
I had a pretty good one. My kid came in for New Year's, so that was a pretty good way to spend it.
Oh, nice, 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 nice. And you, Nando?
That was good. Kiddo stayed up until midnight, then, of course, soon crashed, like, right after. That was good. Good New Year's.
Nice. Well, fantastic as always. Like I guess for today, we're going to be pointing towards the iconic streets of Los Santos. And if you don't know what that location is, I'm referring to Grand Theft Auto 5. Yes, Grand Theft Auto 5. It's been, what, 10, 12 years since it came out?
I think it came out 2013, so 11 years.
So, yeah, I guess about 11 years now. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's time to talk about the juggernaut of a game, Grand Theft Auto 5. And by juggernaut, I mean juggernaut, because that game is still going on. It's been going on pretty strong. And, you know, obviously the recent announcement of Grand Theft Auto 6 is a big thing. But right now, let's just focus on Grand Theft Auto 5, mainly because I just beat it recently. I guess to start things off, you know, this game brought us heist, chaos, and a very vast open world. And I think this is probably one of the biggest ones that came out during that time, back in 2013. And I know, Dando, you've played it. Did you ever beat it?
Yep. Yeah, I beat it twice.
And then, Jermaine, you've played it, but not beat it, right?
Yeah, I played some stuff here and there, mainly just to get through into the online stuff so I can play with my kid.
Ah, okay, okay, cool. Well, then, are you cool? Because we're about to do some, I guess, a little bit of spoilers here.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I mean, I guess speaking of some of these heists and I guess side quests, I guess what are your initial impressions, Nando, when you first played it?
I mean, keep in mind, I played it a decade ago. It was groundbreaking. Like, there hadn't been those types of missions that I played before. And it really felt like, instead of playing a game, I was playing a Michael Bay film. Like, that's just how ridiculous things can get in that game. But I loved it when I played it.
Yeah, and I guess for me, like, as I'm playing it, I'm really trying to picture myself back when this game came out. Because, you know, now I'm playing it, like, almost a decade later, where, you know, gaming, stories, and even, you know, its other, I guess, brother, Red Dead Redemption. Like, I mean, that game was amazing, too. And I'm playing it, and yeah, I was pretty impressed by it. I mean, it's definitely a roller coaster. The storylines that are there, the detail, the characters, especially. I didn't know. Again, I did not play this game, but when I started playing it, I didn't know that you can switch characters. Like, I thought it was one of those where, like, you play a character and then the game switches it for you, but you control who you want to play throughout the game. So I thought that was really cool. Welcome, James. We're talking about Grand Theft Auto 5. Did you ever play it or beat it?
No, actually, I never played 5.
Oh, dang. I played
the online portion. I just never had the time to really deep dive into the campaign. I kind of want to still before 6 comes out. I have a whole year. So, yeah, I think I might do that.
So I guess because 6 is coming out, that's the very reason why I wanted to play 5, was because 6 was coming out. And also, I feel like I had to play it because I'm a big fan of the Rockstar games that they've released, specifically Red Dead Redemption. And I've played Grand Theft Auto, like, way back, but I think the last one I played was the one before San Andreas. So I know for me, it's been a while since I played, I guess, a Grand Theft Auto game.
That's the one I played. A lot of was Vice City. I loved Vice City. I loved the soundtrack for Vice City. I loved everything about Vice City. Just because I like mainly because I love a lot of 80s music, and I love just like how that era is in like film and stuff like that, as far as for like, you know, like movies like, you know, movies and shows like Miami Vice and all those stuff, you know, the criminals back then, like the, you know, is that the whole criminal element just had a certain, you know, vibe to it. It was just really fun to explore and play in. But yeah, and of course that's the, of course Vice City is also the one that I still remember the commercials for, like all the time for, because it came on Monday Night Raw all the time, just constantly played, and so that game just has a core memory for me. The only one I ever played another part of was part four.
I think I'm in the same boat with you, because like I remember playing the old Grand Theft Auto games. Now, yeah, I do remember Vice City probably being the last one that I played. I never played San Andreas. Not that I wasn't interested in it. I just completely forgot about it. I don't know. I was probably busy with the life, I guess. But I'm glad I was able to play Grand Theft Auto 5, because, I mean, I've heard so much about it. And to be able to play it and to beat it now, which I guess now doing the math, I think it took me about 28 hours to beat it. And again, this wasn't on just one day. Like, I did this like for, you know, every other day for a couple of weeks now, because, you know, I don't have that much time to play as much anymore. But it was definitely pretty cool. Definitely pretty cool. But I know I was talking to Tonio about it. When I'm playing the game, I guess I just wasn't as attached to either characters as I was with when I was playing Red Dead Redemption. I mean, it could be because Red Dead Redemption, you're playing one character, where in Grand Theft Auto 5, you're playing three. I mean, that might be the thing, but
what I know about the characters for 5, I think the reason why you're not connecting with them, and this is just for me too, this is why I really had no interest in really playing 5 until 6 was announced, and 6 looks amazing. Is we're like, in comparison to, let's say, Arthur Morgan's a bad guy. He's done some bad stuff, but you feel for him because of the fact that, you know, he's on an ending path. He has that old cowboy on the way out type of feel, especially as the whole game progresses. He's kind of on outs with his team, especially after you've played part one. Like, you still have that type of connection like you did with John Marsden, to where, like, you're that anti-hero. You've done bad things, but you're trying to live the life, you know, a decent life. Where Franklin and everybody, they're just evil.
I mean, yeah, I thought about the same thing, too, thinking about, like, I mean, they're both bad guys in the end. I mean, not bad guys, but criminals. But, yeah, in Red Dead Redemption, like, he's trying to turn it around. The other guys, I mean, they're still, you know, kind of breaking the law. Like, they're doing it to break the laws. And I guess I did skip the side quests. Maybe there's some side quests where they're trying to do good. I don't know. I just mainly did the main missions. But I guess, well, speaking of the characters in Grand Theft Auto 5, I know y'all maybe dabbled in it, but was there a particular character that really stood out for y'all, or was your favorite between Franklin, Michael, and Trevor? Randall?
I mean, I liked all of them for being who they are. Like, Michael being like the seasoned, like, criminal who actually got out and like became like super wealthy and everything, but he's also super bored and depressed. And then you got Franklin, who wants all that because he has nothing else to do. And same with Trevor. Like, these guys just bring a different element to the occasion. And yeah, I mean, yeah, the criminals, but at the same time, I mean, it's not too different, because they did try to go straight and try to do like the regular thing, but obviously it's just not for them.
Yeah, I guess the bad stuff was looking for them when they're trying to walk away, or at least Michael was. But man, what about you, James? The any of those characters stick out for you, or one that you liked more than the other?
Trevor's just funny. Trevor's funny when he's not being batshit crazy. Michael, I like Michael just because of the fact that he is that whole Ray Liotta vibe, where he's just kind of like chilled and, you know, like Jose said, where he's like all seasoned and everything. He's the seasoned criminal. And Franklin, he's the kid who doesn't know any better. He's just, you know, he thinks he knows it all, but he absolutely knows nothing. And that's the one thing I do like about Franklin is that depending on how you play, you learn either from Trevor or Michael on how to, you know, be a better, you know, be a better criminal, I guess. Because spoiler to, you know, how things end at the end, you have to make a choice of which one to go with, or if you play right, you can get the other ending. Out of all the characters, I think Michael stands out the best.
And you, Jermaine, like, did you ever get the, I guess, dabble with any of the characters?
No, I mean, like, literally the closest I've gotten to them is, like, just that beginning part where you have to play in order to even do anything after that, just so you can try to get online. I don't know anything about the characters. My son could tell you more because I know he put a lot of hours into that game.
Well, is it to tell him to reach out to us, you know, send us a message in our website, you know, let us know what his favorite character was. But I guess for me, I have to go with Trevor. I mean, he's like a hurricane of insanity. I mean, you know, you never know what he'll do next. He's definitely a wild card for sure. However, he's still sympathetic to and has a close relationship with not just Michael because of the long tenure they had. They have known each other, even though there was, you know, betrayal between them. But he got close with Franklin, too. So, I mean, for me, Trevor really resonated with me. However, I think I'm more closely to Michael's story just because he's a family man, and so am I. So I guess a little bit of them both. But I really like Trevor's storyline. And I couldn't towards the end, what James mentioned, like, you do make a choice on who you have to kill, and I couldn't see myself taking out the crew. I just went with, you know, we're gonna just go take out everyone ourselves. So that was the ending that I went with. And I guess, like, speaking of endings, and the game, was there, I guess, a memorable, I guess, side mission or heist that you did in Grand Theft Auto 5 that you enjoyed, James?
I don't have anything that sticks out. No, not in my mind. It was just a lot of fun try to pull things off without getting killed.
And you, Nando?
I mean, like, a lot of them are really good. Like, a lot of the main story missions are really good. But I guess ones that come to mind that I really enjoyed playing through because they're just funny to do was whenever you have to get your boat back. And that's just towards the beginning of the game. Because his son, like, was trying to sell it, but it got stolen.
That's right, yeah.
And so you're chasing this thing, like, down the highway while, like, just traffic and cars are flying all over the place.
That's right. And, like, that was wild one.
Oh, yeah, yeah. and that one, and, like, whenever he brought down that one guy's apartment that was, like, banging his wife, Michael's wife or ex-wife, like, that was pretty funny, too. Kind of like, yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. Oh, man, like that was pretty extreme for him to turn down. And then it turns out that wasn't even that guy's house. It was someone else's house. Yeah. I mean, that one was good. And yeah, you're right. That there are a bunch of them that were good. But the one that really stuck out to me is probably the first heist mission. Because that was the first time where, like, you had to pick certain characters or extra people to join your team to do a heist. And it was one where you're robbing a jewelry store, and you got to get a hacker, you got to get a gunman and a driver, you got to select them, and, you know, if you get a really good one, they want a bigger cut of the heist. I went cheaper, and I'm kind of glad that I did, because I didn't know when you do that, you elevate their stats too for the next one. So I chose, I guess, a little bit wisely, and initially it was a little bit problematic with the hacker. Towards the end, I stayed with the same crew, and it was pretty cool. I really enjoyed that one. But yeah, I mean, I after playing Grand Theft Auto 5, I mean, it was good. It was good. But, I mean, I got to remember that this game came out like over a decade ago. I still give it a pretty good score. I give it an 8. I like the story. I mean, I just went through the main story. I didn't play any side missions. I'm pretty sure I'm missing out, but For this game, like I said, it didn't really like grab my attention initially, and I'm only playing it just because six coming out. But I'm glad that I played it and I beat it, and now moving on to the next game, which will probably be Cyberpunk, because I hear a lot of good things about it, and I know Jermaine, you've started playing it. I guess, what do you think about that game so far?
I'm enjoying it so far, man. I'm not that far into it, like maybe an hour or so, maybe an hour and a half. And the only complaint I have is the car steering. It's like way too sensitive. Because I know there's a couple of times I was driving and I barely flicked the stick and I wrecked into a wall.
But well, it's because you're not enough to understand. It's the future. Cars drive better based on your wokeness.
I'm enjoying it. I like it. I like the little stuff you can do. I like the open world concept they actually have for it. But it's good. It's running good so far on my PC. So I'm giving it a thumbs up right now.
Well, that's good. At least it's not melting your PC like it did at launch.
Yeah, and I guess if I understand it correctly, this is a game where you can create your own character. Like, you're not using the already made character or character existing in the game. Like, you can create your character.
Yeah, I didn't know you could do that. Honestly, like, I remember when they announced that you could do certain things, but I didn't know you can actually create your own character. And until I started doing it, I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool.
Oh man, cool. So that's something that I'm kind of looking forward to, because I like to have my own character that where I can play in this world. And I know you can do the same thing in Grand Theft Auto 5 online, but I mean, I don't know, maybe later. Right now, it's not a number one thing in my head, but like Cyberpunk, mainly because it's the campaign, you can do it for it. And I have a question I want to ask Nando, because I know Nando, you're playing it, and you seem to know a lot about, you know, the technical stuff that happened. So my question is, as far as Cyberpunk, in light of the initial technical challenges that, you know, we all know that Cyberpunk had, and, you know, James brought up earlier, how has the game evolved post-launch with the patches and updates done to it, and obviously being re-released on next-gen consoles?
All right. Well, I didn't play the vanilla version. I just, like, saw, like, what the game looked like. Even on PC, like, it was very buggy, and just, I mean, it worked for the most part. But from what I understand, with the update 2.0, which came out in September, I think, of last year, like, that really overhauled, like, the entire game. And people who played the original version are saying, like, this is just a brand new game. Like, they're restarting, like, their new characters just to play this new version of the game. And, like, myself, I've only gotten a few hours only into it, like, about 30. But I'm really enjoying the game so far. And, like, again, like, I don't know how to compare the original version to now. But from what I've been playing, it's really good. I really am enjoying it.
James, do you have any experience with that? Like, did you play Cyberpunk when it first launched?
No, I did not. I wanted to wait till all the bugs were out of it before I ever purchased it. And I want to catch it at a really good price, which I think will be the next time it goes on sale with both the DLCs and the game itself. I know I was in between jobs at the time when it was on sale during the holidays, so I wasn't able to grab it, but hopefully I'll catch it again soon. Just like Jose, I've seen clips and everything of what Cyberpunk was like beforehand and where it is now. It's in a lot different place, and I agree with a lot of YouTubers and game journalists out there that say the game was kind of pushed out to try to meet the release of the PS5 and the Xbox Series X. Because other than PC gamers who had some minimal issues, the game played best on like the bigger systems, the newer systems. Because even like the PS4 Pro and the Xbox Series the Xbox One X, they had trouble keeping up until the Series X and the Series S for the Xbox and the PS5. They really kind of were able to push through the initial mess and have a decent playable game. But now it's a pretty balanced game now to where you can actually play this, play these in a really solid format.
Man, well, that's some really great news to hear. And I did buy the game. I bought the game, but I think it's for the PS4 version. I'm wondering, would the PS4 version work on my PS5, or would it be just better to just buy the PS5 version to play?
I would probably go with the PS5. You might be able to do like a PS4 trade-in, get a little credit somewhere, and get the PS5 version.
Yeah, I agree. I would just say that we are in the next generation now. I hate to admit it, we're midway through the generations, according to how everybody's looking. Everybody's looking now to what the next Xbox and next PlayStation. I'm like, dude, we're just now getting to that stable area where we're getting some decent games out there for these next gen consoles, in my opinion. But no, I would stick with the PS5 or Xbox version, Series X version. People, not S. I'm sorry. I'm gonna say that Cyberpunk deserves to run on a really solider system than what the Series S can produce. I'm not knocking the Series S. It does have some limitations, though. I'm just gonna go ahead and say it now. If you're gonna go ahead and step up to the next gen consoles, go with the Series X. Right now, you can get a decent price for one. It's like $300, I think, maybe, like at Best Buy, I think. They still have a deal going on right now. So it's probably the lowest you're going to find any of the next-gen systems is about $300 right now. And that's the Series X. And you can play these games on there with a really, really good fidelity, and you're going to enjoy them. It's going to be a better experience than getting the last gen system, because you are going to get what you're going to get on the last gen systems.
Well, okay. Well, noted. I might have to go and get the PS5 version then. That's right. I do have it. Obviously, you have the PS5 version too?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then I guess I'm convinced I'm going to have to get the PS5 version. I thought I could do the PS4, but I mean, I do want to have a smooth gaming experience. So I might have to do that for this game.
Yeah, I haven't run into any bugs on the PS5 version. It's a smooth 60 FPS so far.
Nice.
So you guys mentioned that you can create your own character, though, on Cyberpunk. This is the only thing I meant to ask. It's like, I'm not going to be spending like a good hour trying to create my character to look really cool and kind of look like me, and then never see myself, right? Or does your character show up in the cutscenes, kind of like in like Mass Effect and some of that, where you kind of put effort into your character and you see them on screen?
Yeah, so far I've seen a couple cut parts where I saw my character, and it only took me like, 5 minutes to create mine. Yeah, like 5 minutes in and out, and then I was started with the game, because you start off creating your character.
Yeah, well, it's like I don't spend like my time, you know, like the making sure it looked exactly like me or whoever I want to look like. There are some people that do, though. That's what I'm mainly asking for those people. There's some, like, good lord. I mean, like on Starfield, there's people that made Todd Howard, the head of Bethesda. They spent hours making him so they can play as him during the game. Don't ask me why. But these are the same people that just make all these different, you know, people and everything to make them look just for shits and giggles. I mean, I'm sure there's people that made Snoop Dogg in the game just to play a Snoop Dogg going through space. You know, it's just your preference. But I'm just mainly asking because there are people out there that put hours into making their character and then getting gypped of not being able to see them, or worse, having to stare at the back of their head the entire time, knowing that, oh, this is what my character could look like.
Nah, yeah. I mean, was that about it?
No, I was just going to say, like, I mean, in the history that I can recall of creating my own character, I don't think I've spent more than, 10 minutes max making my character. Because, like, number one, how often am I going to see my character? But the only one where I've really enjoyed, where I created my own character, was in Wild Hearts. Like, if anything, I'm trying to make my character look like my character in Wild Hearts. Because that one I loved. It was super cool. I liked it. But again, like, I know in Cyberpunk, I mean, and correct me if I'm wrong, Jermaine, Nandle, and James, if you've played Cyberpunk 2, but you can eventually, like, add gadgets and stuff upgrades to your body, right? Like, so you don't have to necessarily customize your character in the beginning. You can still customize it throughout the game, right?
Yeah, like even your face, you can modify to like look more machine-like if you want to. Like, that's always an option with any Ripper Dock, which is where you get your upgrades from. Like, there'll always be an option to change your physical appearance. So I guess I wouldn't worry that much about creating my character in the beginning.
Okay, yeah. Then like, with that, like, I'll probably just make sure, like, male, dark skin, some hair. And then, I mean, that's probably it. And then just start playing. And, I'll make my modifications later. Again, these are just my assumptions. I'm assuming, like, these upgrades are actual upgrades. Like, I don't know, make you stronger, faster, whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, as you play the game. It's an RPG, so you'll gain XP to upgrade your stuff or yourself.
Man, yeah, I'm definitely going to have to play this. And I guess, like, is there online play for Cyberpunk?
Not that I know of. Is there, Jermaine?
I don't know. I've never even looked into it. I was more interested in the campaign, honestly.
Okay. I mean, I'm good either way. I just was curious.
I think it's a solo experience, which is fine. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, just because of the fact that when you start mixing in, other people who do an experience, it's supposed to be a kind of a solo thriller experience, kind of dilutes the game a little bit.
Okay. Well, cool. Well, I mean, that's going to be the next game I'll be playing. Then, and I wish Tonya was here, because I know he's been wanting me to play that game. He talked so highly about that video game. I think he actually was the one person that I know that actually played it when it first came out. So I kind of want to, I guess, maybe ask him next time, like, how is it now? And did it get better? And I want to say it has, but I just want to get more, information from him about, like, how much better has it been. And I think you kind of covered it a lot with as far as the updates and patches that everything has been done to Cyberpunk.
Yeah, like, that's what I'm glad that they, CD Projekt Red, did with the game, is that they didn't give up on it. They knew what they had, they just needed more time. And I'm glad they were given more time to do it, because now it's, like, a critically acclaimed game now.
Cool. Well,
no, they're saying that there was a rumor for multiplayer for Cyberpunk, but as of right now, the files have disappeared. So we probably won't ever get it then.
Whoa.
Yeah. Okay. So there goes that.
Done.
Yeah.
That's probably during that ransomware thing they got hit with during that time.
Ooh, I forgot about that. But, I mean, I don't have... Oh, I do have a question for everybody listening, though. I think I asked you guys already, but when you play the games like Warzone and Fortnite and stuff like that, which one do you have more fun doing? Going for high kill games or going for the wins? I'd like to know what people say.
That's a good question. I'm gonna say I'd rather know that I actually contributed than actually winning.
Yeah, see, because lately I've been going for high kill games, but my personal best on Fortnite is like 15, and I've gotten close, but I haven't gotten close enough to go and past it.
I mean, that's actually a really good question, because, like, and when you said that, my initial thought was, like, I mean, wins, but I do know there are times when, and Nando can vouch for me on this one, I'm more like, hey, let's go get a bounty, because, like, I just want to go and get some kills. Like, right now, I'm not worried about the win. I just want to go and hunt people and find people and just go into battle a lot, because, like, I don't know, that's just fun, much more funner than, like, I guess, trying to get a win, because, I mean, by winning, I mean, really, you just have to, like, survive and make it to the end for the final battle. But sometimes when we initially start, I'm jumping in and I actually want to dive into the hotspot areas and just start fighting. But yeah, I guess for me, I guess, yeah, more kills, because it just makes it more fun. And, if you get a win, I mean, that's just a plus, a bonus.
Nando, what about you?
I used to go for the victory, but... Now, yeah, I'm in the same boat with Rico. Like, I go out of my way to find, to grab bounties and just try to go for the kills instead. I believe that's just more fun that way. That way, there's always something going on.
Huh?
And I'm actually happy when I'm the bounty and they have to come after me. So I'm like, all right, so I know they're coming. So I actually got to prepare and get ready for them to show up. And I know there's been times where me and Nando have played and like we would forget we don't have a bounty. We just have a team that will sneak up on us, but we'll end up taking them out anyway. So I don't know. I that's why I love bounties. So when they did the going back to the first generation of Fortnite, I wasn't having as much fun because I don't think they had the bounties on that one. But even and I'm sure a lot of people enjoyed it, but I'm glad they brought the bounties back because for me that was that made the game funner for me.
Okay. Yeah, here lately I've just been landing trying to take people out, and then I just first car I see I take off and start running trying to see if I can't find no more people. But yeah, I'm going with it's to me it's more fun getting higher kills than it is the wins.
I'm gonna have to agree. I agree with you. Yes, for sure.
I got one last thing. So this week apparently I don't know if any of y'all follow the channel Game Theory. Apparently MatPat has announced his retirement from his channel. He's going to be turning over the leads to his crew that's been running with him for the past like 10 plus years. But yeah, he released a video on the 9th. It was a kind of emotional video. I actually watched it. It's kind of sad. It's got the end of an era, 13 years for him. Apparently there's a trend going on right now. There's a lot of these YouTubers for the past like 10 years or so, they're hanging it up. It kind of made me think. I was like, you know, we've been doing this for off and on for what, almost a decade now. I think it's time for us to up and take some of those territories that are starting to go away.
Like, don't mind if we step in here. Thank you. Yes.
I was like, the thing I was thinking last night, I was like, why do I feel like the Unsung Gamers are about to go NWO on these things, start spray painting our territory? Like, hey, this is our house now.
Yeah, you gotta hurry up before everybody else shows up. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess people, you know, they've been doing it for a while and they're getting to a time where they want to step back. It's, yeah, new generations or new YouTubers and new podcasters, new bloggers are coming out every day. But yeah, who knows? Maybe one day we'll be up there at the top at war where they were. But, you know, time will tell.
Yeah, I mean, because they're all a lot of ages now. They're like pushing 40, and I was like, hard to wrap my head around that. It's like, oh my God, you guys are like our age, and I'm like, but now we're like, you know what? I'm gonna keep doing it until I still can, man. I'm gonna Ric Flair. I'm gonna be too damn old, just trying to relate. But no, no, guys, no. It's like I'm here for the long haul, but I respect those guys that say, you know, it's time to hang it up on a high note. But for Unsung Gamers, I'm gonna go ahead and say it right now. I'm gonna say this to all those people that have been with us from the beginning. We're just getting started, baby.
And I guess, and that's a wrap for today's episode. Thanks for joining us on this virtual road trip through Grand Theft Auto, Cyberpunk, and obviously Fortnite, and all these other games that we always talk about every episode that we have. But until next time, we are the Unsung Gamers, saving the world one game at a time.